Now after the amputation, yeah, you're doing better. Yeah. His left foot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Greg, in a wheelchair, comes to church, had his left foot amputated on, and they did it to where he's able to get a prosthetic on there, and he said that he'll be better than what he was before with his real foot. So that's good. Then I know that John's still feeling sick, and John LaBelle, a missionary that was in Africa, he's back in the States, he's in Tennessee, he's not doing well. And there's just a bad flu virus going around, and it's taking people out. And so, I mean, we had a bad flu virus 3 years ago, did the same thing, and it's unfortunate, but it happens. And then Scott and Yolanda, Scott's not doing well, he has the flu also. And like, I think our Tuesday night group was like down to, yeah, a handful of us, you know, because the people that are sick. And that's to be expected, people going back to school, weather's changing, all that stuff, you know. So it's just, and it's that time of year, it's bound to happen. And the flu shot you got this year is not going to work for this flu because it's new. So, you know, there you go. But we're here, and we're excited about being here. And so we will be encouraged, and if someone comes in the next hour for our 11 o'clock, that you can just tell, hey, you can discern they're not doing too good. And you can go alongside them and bear their burden and encourage them. And so we'll do that together. But let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for being good to us. We are grateful and thankful for our salvation. We're thankful for Jesus Christ and just that we are complete in him. And Lord, we're so thankful for our identity in Christ and our purpose and our meaning. And Lord, we're just so grateful for the time that you allowed us to come together and build up your body. We're relying on you, Lord, to give us direction and discernment. And Lord, for healing with Greg and John LaBelle and John Silva. And Lord, and Scott, there's just so many people that are ill right now with this flu, that you would strengthen their bodies and heal them and give them strength. And Lord, we'll praise and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. This is going to go right along with our theme for the next hour in 2 Corinthians 13, but when tough life circumstances come our way, I need to see if I'm in the faith. Not that I'm saved, but am I behaving like I am saved and not bailing out of my faith because of the circumstance that I'm in? Does that make sense? That's next hour. But while John is away, I've been praying about, hey, what should I teach on that wouldn't conflict with what John's teaching in Ephesians? And whenever he gets back, he can come right back in and pick up where he left off, and it wouldn't be like two totally cattywampus topics. So we're going to go. I have six lessons prepared for spiritual warfare. So the next six lessons that I'm going to go over, and whenever John comes back, Ephesians 6 with God's armor will fit right in, so he can come in at any time and finish up his lessons he wants to do. Now, there are several different angles people take with spiritual warfare. There are several avenues down which people can go, and I'm sure that most of them are all legit, that they're all proper in their proper context. And we're going to go over more like the foundational stuff on understanding the foundation on why we see what we see with our eyes, right? So our lessons are going to consist of, like today, we're going to go over developing a warfare mentality. Next week, we'll go over the origin of spiritual warfare. Very important. We got to understand the origin of spiritual warfare. The next week, after that, 3 weeks from now, we'll go over understanding spiritual warfare. We'll look at the fourth lesson will be on doors people open to demonic activity. We'll look at root problems and their fruits. And then we'll look to steps to freedom in Christ. Now, these are all to believers. So not non-believers. These are all the believers. And I have all the forms here, so if you want them, I'll give you a copy of them if you want. So the first thing that we're going to look at today is developing a warfare mentality. What do you guys think that means? What does that mean to you? It's subjective. Yeah. Yep, having focus and being prepared for what you're going to have to deal with. Excellent. What else? Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Yeah, just being aware of it, right? What else? Developing a warfare mentality. Right? Distractions. We'll look at that. Absolutely. That's exactly what it means. Yeah, being clear-minded, right? Being focused. Yeah, you're right. When we think of sober, we think of alcohol and drugs, but that's not what was on Peter's mind when he wrote that. Absolutely. He was talking about exactly what you said, having that clear-mindedness, being focused. And you're all right. Absolutely. But I just want to see where we're all at, because with hearing this kind of stuff, sometimes we can go way out in right field, way out in left field. You know, but it sounds like we all have kind of a proper understanding. We're all kind of on the same board, which is good. We don't have to address really anything major. We'll go to what Paul is telling Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, it's the last epistle that Paul wrote. He's in his last imprisonment before he dies. I like reading things before people either pass away or before they leave and you never hear from them again. What are they telling people? What's going on? When they know their time is short, they're summarizing and condensing some truths. What are they saying? Not that things aren't important that are out there, but hey, at the end of the day, here's why I want your mindset. So in 2 Timothy chapter 2, we'll start in verse 1. So you, my son, against Paul talking to Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Share the things that you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses with faithful men who will be able to teach others also. I have a whole lesson on that as well. Endure hard times as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Here's our text, verse 4. No soldier on active duty entangles himself with civilian affairs that he may please the enlisting officer. I will go to verse 5 for fun. Anyone who competes as an athlete is not rewarded without competing legally. So we see, again, there's more here in 2 Timothy, but just getting the right focus, right? Hey, when you're engaging in the ministry of the Lord, When we're doing our calling, you can't get caught up in society, in the world, right? We can't get caught up in what everybody else is doing. You got to stay sober, clear-minded, focused, and prepared for what you know is going to come at you. That's the mentality that Paul is telling Timothy before he does die. Hey, stay with it. Stay focused. You need to endure hardness. Not that it's not going to happen to you. When it does, go through it and stay faithful. Don't bail out on your faith. Don't stop doing what you're supposed to be doing when life is tough or you don't feel good. You still got to continue the mission. You still got to go forward. We'll go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Just went over here a few weeks ago. Second Corinthians chapter 10. Verse verse number 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is complete. Now, I know I went over all the context of this a few weeks ago, but look at the language there. Look at how he's talking to them, okay? They're going to understand this language written to these people at this time. He's kind of waking them up, right? Hey, let's stay focused on our mind, all right? So to be effective against our enemy, we must understand what it means to have a warfare mentality. And there are some basic principles and personal disciplines that we all can have as believers on how to operate in spiritual warfare. Any questions so far? All right, many times we operate in spiritual warfare and don't even know what's happening. Right? We have no idea it's even happening. But we're going to look at some things so you can recognize it. Not give in. Not retaliate. When you notice, if you're coming at something this way with anger, wrath, malice, disobedience, unthankfulness, you know this is not of God. So if it's not of God, I am reacting ungodly to a circumstance that's ungodly towards me. Does that make sense? So if I'm acting or behaving in a way that the Lord would be displeased in, it's spiritual warfare, and I am not fighting the right way. We're going to go into the Old Testament here in the book of Matthew, and we will look at Christ himself in the Old Testament, and there's some spiritual warfare. Now, I know it's Old Testament. I know things are different here, but I want you to see how Christ attacks this. Matthew chapter 17. Did I tell you that already? Matthew 17, that might help. Matthew 17. And verse 14. Matthew 17, 14. When they came to the crowd, a man came to him and knelt before him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's an epileptic and suffers terribly. He often falls in the fire and often into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. Now look up this way. How many times? Now, this father did the right thing by bringing his son to people who ought to know how to help him, right? He did the right thing, didn't he? He says, I can't do it. I'm not going to stop until my son is healed or until I get the proper care that my child needs. And so he's exhausting every bit of information and knowledge and resource that he has. He brings them to God's disciples because Christ and three others went to the mountain. Now they're coming back down from the Mount of Transfiguration. There's qualified men there that know what to do. And many times even godly men are out of their element and they misdiagnose. Godly men who are unprepared can misdiagnose. I have heard a pastor say in our town, he's diagnosing people with bipolar. A pastor is doing this. In order to see, for one, you need to see an MRI to see bipolar. Your DSM-5, your disorder manual will give you symptoms. That's what psychiatrists use and all doctors use, a DSM-5. You can buy one yourself. And they look through there and they go, oh, you're doing this, 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 and this. You have bipolar. No MRI. You need to see an MRI because true bipolar, your frontal lobe has a small black spot that's undeveloped. Just because you have symptoms of being bipolar, number one, are you saved? Right? That's your first symptom you're looking for. Are you saved? And two, if you are saved, what sin is holding you up? What do you not understand about Jesus that can help you, free you from this? Can Christ free someone from being labeled bipolar? You better believe it. Someone say amen. Yeah, that's right. You can be freed from that. Now, if there's something undeveloped, you cannot develop that, but you'll learn how to have peace and comfort with Christ in that. You'll have proper understanding. Go ahead, Roy.
Well, this is more of a question.
Yeah, go ahead. Great question. So let's back up. So number one, a miracle is something where man has exhausted all his options, all his knowledge, and the problem is still there. Okay, so if technology is used to heal someone, that's not a miracle because man was a part of that. Now, I'm saying it's bad. Hey, praise the Lord. That's fantastic. God desires to use man's knowledge, right? But it's when we've exhausted all of our resources and nothing's done, and then we're continuing to pray. Now, here's the thing, too. Not everyone is going to be healed. And God makes that very clear with trials and tribulations. So the healing, when you see in the book of Acts, okay, the healing was an apostle sign to show that I am qualified representing Jesus Christ. So this healing was to show those that are being healed, hey, I'm an ambassador for Christ. Now, that slowly went away, right? I mean, even Paul himself, who healed people, he wasn't healed of his infirmity, right? So we see different people. Most people are not going to be healed, and that's okay, because that's a part of the sin-cursed body, right? The gift is gone, yes. Now, can God heal people today? Absolutely, but he's not using that gift. Does that make sense? Right? So like the gift of tongues, right? You speak Spanish or Russian or Tagalog or whatever, right? And you speak it to me. I've never learned that, but I'm given the supernatural ability to understand what you're saying and speak Tagalog, you know, Russian or whatever back to you. So that gift's gone. It is. In Thessalonians, or Corinthians, it says, and tongues and prophesying will cease when that which is perfect is come. So you start to slowly see as the gospel is getting to every area, the known world, to different languages and tongues, that goes away. So there's no more new revelations. There's no more languages that we haven't heard, right? We're able to do that now. We have the written word of God. The complete story of salvation by grace through faith is complete. Paul's ministry as an apostle is complete. So that's complete. That's all done.
So would you say that gift, that specific gift was more as an identifier to the first churches, that was kind of a symbol?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so not so much the culture as it is who they're representing.
Yeah.
Yep. Good. All right, so we see Christ here engaging. They brought his son. Now, what would a doctor have said today if this son is being thrown into the water, thrown into fire? What would they have told him? What do you think that they would have said to him? Well, a doctor wouldn't say demon-possessed.
Seizures.
But what would a doctor say? What would a psychiatrist say?
Mentally unstable.
And what would they have offered him? Medication. And what does medication do to the brain neurologically?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So the neurons in your brains, right? There's chemicals that go through these small little holes, right? And what it does is it blocks those holes, these chemicals, so that those things can't fire through there. And so it doesn't, you're not healed. Okay? It's just diverting different things to different areas, which cause even more problems. Right? So we had the proper diagnosis, he's demon-possessed, and they brought it to the right people to do it, and they were ill-equipped. They forgot. They had the information, but they didn't have participatory knowledge. They had not participated yet in their propositional knowing. Their propositional knowing said, this is what I'm supposed to do. Now, how do I participate? I don't understand the procedure. I don't understand how to do it. Right? So nothing was done. And then God tells them, hey, this kind, at this time in the Old Testament, can only be done through prayer and fasting. That was the remedy for the disciples to do to help this boy cast his demon out. Right? That makes sense? There's a progression. There's things that need to take place many times. Any questions on that? No? Okay. So, again, we see a desperate dad here who doesn't know what to do with his son. The devil is hard at work today in the same way. The number one area of demonic activity is in your family. In your family, not in the church. Because the church is made up from individuals, individual families. You ever notice that? You ever notice how you can be in your home with the people that you're closest to and love the most, and yet you treat them so horribly? And you come here and it's like, oh, hey, how's it going? Now, I'm not saying treat me like you treat your family, but I'm just saying, why is that? Because that demonic activity is stirred more at home. Now, it would happen the same thing here. If we were here, the people that we love the most, and we were here 24/7, 7 days a week, all that good stuff, it would start creeping into here as well. But we have to start being cognitive to what's happening. In the Old Testament, in Hosea 4:6, it says there, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. The prophet Hosea, to the children of Israel at that time in the Old Testament, said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, what does the New Testament say? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Actually, for sake of time, we're getting low on it. Let's just go to 1 Corinthians 2:5. 1 Corinthians 2:5. So that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but the power of God. So 1 Corinthians 1 and 2 is all about the world has their wisdom, and the Corinthians were trusting in the world's wisdom, the world's knowledge, over godly wisdom and knowledge. So it's not for a lack of knowledge, it's misplaced knowledge. Does that make sense? It's lacking on what I have in Christ, my purpose in Him, but there's so much information out there, I'm just trusting in the wrong knowledge. Let's see. It is God's desire to perform deliverance to his people. Many times it's because of our maybe unbelief or improper training or no training. Improper training or no training at all. Now our enemy is not going to give up. He's not going to quit. He doesn't care how sick you are, how tired you are, how busy you are. He actually wants you busy on not godly things. And our warfare mentality, 1 Timothy 1:18, this charge I commit unto the son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before thee, that you might, by them mightest war a good warfare. Now again, just getting my mindset clear. Okay, this is one topic of many, right? So I am just grasping, okay, I'm going to be engaged in spiritual warfare. It's going to be seen this way, in life circumstances, with people talking to me, with information that I'm given, and then when it comes inside me, how do I filter it? Is it through the spirit or through the flesh? Right? Which, is it in my soul, my mind, my will, and my emotions? Which we'll get to that 3 weeks from now. Is it through that area that I come out, or is it through the spirit that I come out? So it's coming in the same. Which category am I going to allow to influence me? The flesh, my soul, or the spirit? I control that. I'm not predetermined like a Calvinist to be like, oh, hey, I'm just going to come out angry because I'm told to do that. Nope. You have a choice. You have a choice on how you react. So we have to have that mentality. I do want to get this out, though. Like I said before, it's going to be through our families. Our families must understand that there is spiritual warfare. And we need to be talking about it. We need to not force it on our children, but learn together with them and prepare each other for this mentality and this warfare. If we have strong homes, we'll have a strong church. Right? Strong home, strong church. Starts in our house. I can control that. And I bring what I've already been doing into the body of believers, and we just keep on going. Go, grow, no, go, grow, no, and keep on going. And never forgetting who our enemy is. Our enemy is not people. It's not your president, not your congressman, it's not your governor. Get your mindset behind who's influencing them. Get your mind behind, how could they? They're not saved. They don't know any better. Right? Why are you trying to reason with someone who's unsaved and try and figure out, I just don't understand. Neither do they. They're not saved. They're not going to know. They're doing exactly what an unsaved person does, and that's live for me, myself, and I, and what can I get right now? Right? For the love of money is the root of all evil. Hello. Don't let stuff surprise you or shock you. Get back in the Bible in your mind and start translating what's happening in our society with that thought process. Don't neglect our faith and go, I don't understand. You should. If anybody should know what's going on, it's this group here, right? If anybody should have the answers, it's this group right here. You should have the answers. You should know exactly what's happening, why it's happening, when it's happening. All those things. The last thing is that I want us to understand is I got to learn and practice submitting. James 4, 6 through 7, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's that process we got to do. Having a proper understanding of what's going on, when its circumstances are coming my way, boop, I'm filtering it through my spirit, and now I'm coming out with the spirit. So I have got to start learning and digesting what spiritual truths are, so that I'm not coming out all the time with the flesh. I'm coming out this way. That'll lead to high cholesterol in my body, heart palpitations, ulcers, all kinds of physical problems. If you guys want a good book on that, the author is Don Colbert, and it's called Deadly Emotions. It's a sad book because it's on believers, on where their mind's at, and how it affects them physically. Deadly Emotions by Don Colbert. I'll stop right there. Any questions on the first couple of topics here? Having a warfare mentality. Now again, having a warfare mentality isn't to be discouraged. Like, I'm not going to be mad or frustrated or upset. No, I'm upbeat. I'm excited. I know what's happening. I'm not going to give in to what the devil wants me to give in to this way. Right? And again, we're under one umbrella because there's three enemies, world, flesh, and devil. Right? So we're under one umbrella that we got to start mastering now to go, okay, I know what's happening this way. I'm not blind. I'm not ignorant. I'm not naive. I'm a mature believer. I'm not going to come back out of me anything ungodly. And it's because my mind's focused on that. I'm participating. I'm practicing. I'm training. I'm training to do this so that when it happens, I don't even have to think about it. It's so fluid and natural. You can see the ones in the military who are taking their training seriously. And when that IED goes off or that you get in a firefight, those that weren't taking it seriously panic. Those that are taking it seriously, it's like everything goes slow motion. And you can react. Everyone's calm. Everyone's collected, right? You know what's going on. Same thing. When things are coming out this way, in America, in the state of Oregon, I can either panic because I haven't been taking my training seriously, or I can slow things down and go, hey, I know exactly what's happening, I know why it's happening, and I know how to even react to what's happening. Pretty cool, huh? Pretty cool. Go ahead. Right. Yep. We're going to notice the difference on excuses, self-inflicted wounds, and just the Lord allowing things to happen to sharpen me. Right? Because my excuses are going to, that's the avenue that Satan will come in to have me reap what I sow. It's not God's fault. It's my own fault because of this excuse. He knows the excuses just like we do. He's not blind or ignorant. He understands. That's his world of spiritual warfare. So he'll go through the excuse. He'll go through my laziness, my apathy part. And he'll use that against us. He'll use our comfortableness to get in there, mess us up. And then when we come here, when we get sharpened by each other, right, we get encouraged, we get lifted up, we go, hey, you know what? I haven't even listened to a sermon on being faithful, but just talking to my friend, I'm going to be a little bit more faithful. Just through a conversation, right? That's amazing how God works like that. I'll listen to people talk, or I'll listen to a sermon. It's not even on the topic I'm convicted on. Isn't that crazy? I'm going, you know what I think I should do? What I'm going to do is A, B, C, D. But it's cool how the Lord can do that. I love it. So, developing a warfare mentality, we'll pick this up next week. Again, we're going to go over the origin of spiritual warfare. We'll go over understanding spiritual warfare, doors people open to demonic activity, root problems and their fruits, and steps to freedom in Christ that you can use to help someone receive that freedom. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about being free from their sin. And you can do that. It's really cool. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for being good to us today. We're so grateful and thankful for your love and your grace and mercy. Allow these truths to sink into our hearts and minds and that we can meditate on them. stay focused as we, Lord, develop this warp mentality. And Lord, just show us the truths that you want us to have in our lives, where we're at right now, that we can be best used by you to build up your body. Bless now our next hour. In Jesus' name, amen.